What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
2025, not a banner year in the Bender household. Not a great year in Pittsburgh sports. In fact, it was the winter of your discontent and your fall, spring, and summer of your discontent if you're a Pittsburgh sports fan. Everything finally sort of came home to roost. Everything came to, you couldn't take it anymore. You couldn't take it anymore. At the Pirates opener, we had a plane flying above the stadium saying, sell the team. We had fans chanting, sell the team. The manager was booed in the intro at the home opener. Eventually, at least, the Pirates changed. They fired the manager, and now they've gone out and unbelievably brought in two all-stars from last season in a matter of a week. It's way too late. In some ways, it only underscores the rage you must feel about last offseason. I get that. But at least something's changed. With the Penguins, something pretty big changed. They got rid of a Hall of Fame coach. That's a pretty big change. And like I said, the Penguin anger, we're tired of this. We don't want to watch this anymore. You know, manifest itself more with that franchise and just, oh, screw it, we just won't go, than it does in, you know, fan insurrections. And then, man, with the Steelers, just blind rage is what it's turned into. And they've had these franchise teetering moments this year coming off the horrific playoff loss to Baltimore. And I've sent out a mass text today to all my colleagues here at the Fan saying, give me your best, worst moments of the year. A lot of them are texting in the worst moment, the worst game, the worst thing was that, and we've forgotten about it by now because it's been usurped by the Cleveland game, plus it was a year ago, was getting destroyed, just systematically destroyed and seemingly quitting on national television in a playoff game against the Ravens. A lot of them are pointing to that. But anyway, I guess this is a long way of saying you're the story in Pittsburgh sports this year. You, the fans, are, honestly. I really believe that. And I can't tell you how many people that I run into in person or just get feedback from on this show, columns that I do for the Post-Gazette, all of that. It's just like, my God, is anybody going to change anything? Are we just going to sail into oblivion with these three underachieving, in some cases, tragic sports teams? Well, a couple of them said, no, we're not. I wonder about the third one. They have a pretty big game on Sunday. And I know what some of you are thinking is that a loss would prompt the kind of change you want. That really, really presents a twist on the affair, to put it mildly. We have a bunch of people on the lines. Oh, limitless wonder. Actually, you're Charlie Borges, aren't you?
I find that offensive.
Well, I think you're a limitless wonder as well. You're capable of anything. Who's on?
Let's go to Matt in Greensburg.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. It's still going to be hard to beat probably 10 of the Pirates' worst moments of the year with their PR. From.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I'm a season ticket holder, so it was.
Well, what do you think? Let me ask you this, Matt.
Yeah.
And yes, we could pick 76 different Pirate moments for the worst of the year.
Yeah.
What do you think when people out there blame people like you and say you're part of the problem over at the Pirates? Because I think people like you should be commended to no end for still supporting this team in spite of it basically kicking you in the groin year after year.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I don't I don't expect them to win a World Series, probably in my lifetime. But I love baseball. I have a 10-year-old son that loves baseball. So I love Pirates. I love all of MLB, but I follow it closely. So I kind of have a different take. I'm not there like they're not going to spend money. Okay. And I think like this year could change if they sign Okamoto, but I go in with a different expectation maybe. And I go to the games for what, you know, like my kids like to go, our family likes to go. I love, you know, so it's, I'm not there to, this is win or go home. You know what I mean? So, that's why I go.
If I'm one of these people and I say, Matt, buddy, you're part of the problem. Stop getting season tickets. Let's get fired up here, Matt. What do you tell him back?
I would say, cool. Don't go.
That's like, a great answer.
I mean, I don't know what to, like, me not getting season ticket is not going to make Bob Nutting spend money.
Exactly. Like,
That's not going to happen. Like it's to each their own. And, you know, we've seen the protests come and go every year. And
now maybe I will say this though, maybe the fan anger within the building and things like that, and just the general vibe,
did
help to create some change, but you're right. Over the years, I think you have a right to do whatever the hell you want with your own money.
Yeah, I think that it has been felt. You could feel it. I think just with their moves this off season.
Yeah.
And I think there would have been a riot at Pirate Fest. I know that if they just went and signed Adam Frazier again, like they did last year.
I'm surprised they didn't sign him back for a third term.
Yeah.
But a third tour of duty.
I didn't even call it. I didn't know we were talking Pirates, but can I just say about the Steelers?
Yeah.
They are one win away from, you could spin this however you want. They're one win away from being 4-1 last five. Okay, and hosting probably just as bad an offensive team as we are as the Houston Texans in 2 weeks. And you could, all it takes is one win in the playoffs, and here we go. So I know it's doom and gloom. And you know, I called Crowley last week because, we could.
He's a nice man, isn't he, Matt Crowley?
Yeah, he's awesome. But the roller coaster of like, you know, it's like, it's not as bad as we think, and it's not as good as we think. And I thought that, you know, if we watched Pittsburgh Steelers football the last 20 years.
Wait, what did you say before that?
It's not as bad as we think. And it's not as good as we think after the good wins and after the bad
loss. They won't want a playoff game or even come close in going on nine years, Matt. That's horrible. It's horrifying.
And you said it's one of the worst. You know, listen, I've watched them lose to David Carr and the Texans.
With all this on the line, with an AFC North title on the line, and Shedeur Sanders is the other quarterback?
I get it, but road game with Adam Thielen and MVS as your top two.
I don't care if they had me and you as their top two. They lost to the Cleveland Browns on the road in that stadium. And believe me, Browns fans would have turned in a second with Shedeur Sanders playing quarterback.
I get it, Joe, but this game coming down to week 18 is more of an indictment on Baltimore. They're having these same conversations. They were the AFC favorite coming in.
The indictment's on the Steelers. I hate to tell you, it's on both teams. But as I mentioned earlier, at least the Ravens win playoff games. The Steelers simply don't anymore.
Yeah, but they lose the biggest ones. They choke at home.
They get to the biggest ones, though, don't they?
It's whatever. I mean, they were AFC favorites, though, and now they have to go and beat Pittsburgh with maybe Snoop Huntley.
Well, within this calendar year, they completely embarrassed the Steelers and had people saying the Steelers were quitting. So, yeah, no, believe me, the Ravens are also teetering here. But again, at least they've had some success. What else did that guy say? We'll get to the general in about 3-4 minutes here, Nelly. I was reading something else while he was talking and just astounded by it, but now I forget. Go to the next call, please.
One real quick thing. I know you asked for a phone call, but a couple people on the text line have pointed out that in the sea of negativity, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds did win a championship. Mm. And even though it's not as big of a deal as a Big Four sports championship in the community, it is a big deal for a local team to win.
Yeah, that was big. Pitt volleyball getting back to the Final Four was big, for sure. Who's next?
Let's go to Mike in South Park.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Joe. Hope you had a Merry Christmas and have a good New Year.
You too. What's your resolution, Mike?
I got an 11-month-old daughter. I'm trying to get her to stop throwing her plate on the ground.
Good luck with that one.
At the moment.
You might want to pick something easier than that. What's on your mind?
So I called initially about a question, but I wanted to comment on the worst of 2025. So I was at the opening day for the Pirates, and it was like a scene. And I've been to so many sporting events, went to the Pirate playoff games, been to so many Steeler games. That was insane. The negativity, the fan vibes, the booing.
Yeah.
But I didn't go to the Bills game, but just watching it on TV, I just couldn't believe what unfolded that game. The booing, the renegade booing,
yeah.
The fire Tomlin.
It was sad.
It was. It was like the Steelers are Pittsburgh, right? So for that to happen, it just felt like a moment in history, if that makes sense. You know, like that. I'm sure there's been booing in the past, but not in the last, I'd say, 25 years.
No, it was a low point in Steeler history. Is what it was. It was the fans turning on their team with justification and their coach for all the world to see. And to their credit, the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, they bounced back the following week and won a big game in Baltimore. To their immense discredit, they undid and may have undone everything by staging one of the worst losses in their modern history. By losing to Shedeur Sanders and the injured Cleveland Browns. You can talk about Watt and Metcalf. Cleveland was injured too, or missing people in the Metcalf case. Just one of the worst losses you'll ever see. But go ahead.
It kind of feels like it's.
Is that her? What's her name?
Her name is Sadie. She's been in her high chair for about.
Sounds like
minutes.
She's had enough of the Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates too. She cried.
She was enduring the game.
Maybe that's the theme. This year in Pittsburgh sports, everyone turned into a baby and just started. They can't take it. They just started crying and throwing things.
Exactly. But my question is: take Tomlin's name out of this, right? So a coach who hasn't made hasn't been competitive in a playoff game in a decade, hasn't had a home playoff game in half a decade.
Yeah.
And you lose to a 3-win team with a chance to win the division and have a home playoff game. What other coach doesn't have immense pressure on him this Sunday to win or get fired?
Does he? I don't know. I guess that's the question here is, does he? Is there immense pressure on Mike Tomlin to win this game? Now, I saw the report from Adam Schefter. Or the comment that, you know, Tomlin may be inclined to move on here. It always seems to come down to whatever Tomlin wants, too. Yet in these other cases of successful, high-profile coaches who have been jettisoned by their franchise, that's just the point. They were jettisoned. They were pushed along or flat-out fired. Bill Belichick, for God's sakes, forevermore. For however long the NFL exists, if anybody in any town has a question of, should we really be pushing this guy out of town? Go back and refer them to the Patriots and tell them that the most successful coach who ever lived by the measurement of Super Bowl trophies was basically fired. Use that example forevermore. Yeah, but you can throw in Pete Carroll in Seattle. You can throw in Andy Reid in Philly. You can throw in Tony Dungy in Tampa. You can throw in Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. But somehow, some way, it always seems to be here. Well, it'll be Tomlin's call. I guess that's when you have an owner who allows it to be that way in art. But hey, we will see what the Steelers do Sunday. Remember what this town was like after the Bills game? They bounced back against this very same team. All right, let's go to the general. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Your chance to win the card or cards of the week comes from going on our website, 93.7thefan.com to our contesting page right around noon Wednesday through Friday. The 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group. It's very cold, going to be snowy today too, I think in the 20s. Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. I don't know, that was kind of a weak weather forecast, Charlie, wouldn't you say? Me guessing that it's in the 20s.
Snow was in the forecast.
What's the actual weather? I think that's important to delineate. Look, I was right. 23 degrees. The high today is 31. The low is 19. Calvin Austin III. Yes, with flurries expected. All right, let's get to the general, General Patton. I was just out at, just out at his store last week. In general, I was in a hurry that day. But man, I just wanted to stay there all day yet again. And Charlie here says you sent in the card of the week, but I don't know what the card of the week is. He was going to tell me, and I said, no, I don't want to know. I'm going to guess that the card of the week is, I was going to say Artur Shelofs, but I don't think it's going to be him. Maybe in a bad way, DK Metcalf, maybe in a good way. Let me think. How about the new guys? How about Ryan O'Hearn and Brandon Lau, a two-part new card of the week? What do you got?
Both great choices. Happy New Year, Mr. Starkey.
You too, buddy.
We're going retro today. We're going to conclude the year on a big note. We're going with Roberto Clemente on December 31st, 53 years later.
Yeah.
There's never a bad day for a Clemente card. We got a 1968 Topps Deckel Edge, black and white Roberto Clemente card. All these years later, we've been doing this for almost 40 years. It's still the number one Christmas gift every single year. Followed closely by 66 and 87, but 21 still takes the cake. And we're going to end the year with Starkey's card of the week on a high note. We're giving away Roberto Clemente.
I love it, man. And when I look back on that day in 1972, you know, what a joyous time to begin the day. And then one of the all-time tragedies in Pittsburgh sports, right?
And just 7 days after the Immaculate Reception.
That's what I meant, the week earlier, the Immaculate Reception. Yeah. And then that.
Two biggest things ever in Pittsburgh sports, maybe, or two of the top items and happening in 7 days.
And then, yeah, earlier that day, what I was thinking about and just wrote about was the Steeler loss to Miami at Three River Stadium, by the way, because back then, even though the Dolphins were undefeated, back then they just went on a rotating divisional basis. So the Steelers had a home game for the AFC title game against the unbeaten Dolphins.
Talk about our archaic system.
Yes, the week after the Immaculate Reception and Larry Seipel's fake punt. But yeah, man, later that night, one of the all-time tragic days in the history of our city, really.
And I'm pretty sure Greasy completed or attempted 9 passes at the. I'm pretty sure it was single digits.
Really?
Talk about the game changing.
Man,
I will say
forever,
this, growing
really.
Up in Western Pennsylvania, though, for all that time, owning a Roberto Clemente card was chief goal number one of baseball card collectors, just to have a Clemente card.
Man, I bet. Do you have a New Year's resolution, General?
I'm going to read the Bible more.
Hmm. How about you, Charlie? You have a New Year's resolution?
Don't go insane and try to pay my bills on time.
Maybe you and the General can share ideas. Thank you, General.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend. All right.
Real quick to add on to that.
Yes.
The Roberto Clemente thing. I had something for you. I had a Christmas gift for you.
Yeah.
But I forgot it. And the card of the week jogged my memory. Somebody went through either their grandfather's closet, and they have physical, like actual copies of old school newspapers.
Yeah.
And two of them I thought you would enjoy. And one of them was the paper the day after Roberto Clemente had passed. The actual physical copy of
the paper. So
the
Pittsburgh Press?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And then the other one was right after the World Series win in...
71?
71, I believe.
71, yeah. Well, 79 was the last time the Pirates even won a playoff series. Isn't that incredible to think about? 1979, Nelly, you weren't even a thought on the horizon.
I was negative 14.
Wow. That is incredible. All right, coming up, Mr. Sean Gentile of The Athletic will dive into some of the stories of the year. He's a lifelong, born and bred Pittsburgher. The theme of the year that I've been talking about, all that stuff, we'll talk about with Dr. Gentile next. It's Pomp and Joe.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, it doesn't get much lower than that, does it? When we look back on the year that was, and that happened in January, so that counts as 2026, Charles Borges, does it not?
I would assume so, yes.
You would assume so. January's the beginning of the year, for God's sakes. Yes, it was, 2025. Did I say 26?
Yes.
I've lost my mind. It counts as 2025, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, but it counts as the 2024 season, but it happened in 2025, so technicality. But you are correct, as always, Mr. Starkey.
It's the Never Pomp and Very Rarely Joe show. Welcome to it. I'm here for the first time this week. Man, is there a lot to talk about. But it's the last day of the year. You're probably out there in what appears to be a light snow, probably getting ready for a big night. Or maybe a small night. Some people like to stay inside. We have a very small party at the house. A couple neighbors and a couple friends. How about you, Dr. Borges?
Normally we go out, my fiance and I, but this year we have decided to stay in. And we are not doing anything after the long Christmas that we had.
What does Limits do on New Year's Eve? Praise to Drew Aller. Other than that, what?
Dang, you stole my joke.
Wishes the best for Drew Aller in the coming year? Makes
probably
a Drew Aller resolution or two?
Does a Drew Aller seance?
Maybe a
that
seance.
The Steelers draft him in the third round? What would that seance sound like?
I don't know. It would be Limits in a Drew Aller jersey, perhaps with a little bobblehead and a candle next to the bobblehead, just wishing him well in the new year and hoping that the Steelers draft him. Listen, let's talk about the year in Pittsburgh sports. It's the last day of the year, for God's sakes. What, there's plenty of other things to talk about. I get it. But this kind of makes sense. And that clip right there was as bad or maybe worse than any moment of the whole year. Now, I'm not including off the field, the passing of beloved Pittsburgh sports figures such as Dave Parker, Mike Lang. I'm not including the fan falling out of the stands at PNC Park, things like that. I guess I'm talking more on the field stuff. This was a year of great dissatisfaction in Pittsburgh sports. It was a year mostly of lows, hopefully rock bottoms that prompted action. In some cases, that's exactly what happened. The dissatisfaction prompted action. And that rhymes, Dr. Borges. I don't know of anything lower than the Steelers in a playoff game against their hated rival being accused of quitting by Kirk Herbstreit on national television. And I know the DK Metcalf thing just happened. And I know there were other on the field, on the ice, bad stuff that happened. I just can't imagine anything worse than that in game. Can we listen to that again? And this is one happening that should have prompted action, in my opinion, at that time. And it didn't. The Steelers stayed the course. Others did not. I thought this was rock bottom of the Mike Tomlin era. Of course, I hadn't seen the loss to Cleveland yet this year. This was as bad as it gets.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Just mind-blowing, really, and the low point of the Tomlin era. Well, except for what happened, 3 days ago in Cleveland? So, yeah, it was a year, and I've been doing this for a while now, since the station opened and long before that, is sort of interacting with you out there all the time, right? Either through this medium, through writing, or just seeing people and talking. And I don't remember a year of greater dissatisfaction than this. Rage in some cases, apathy in some cases. You're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. That was the quote that goes with this year in Pittsburgh sports. And some of that came from within the organizations themselves. Kyle Dubas had enough of Mike Sullivan. It was time for that to end. There was great dissatisfaction with the Penguins and where they had gone for 3, 4, 5, 6 years running. That prompted change. That's a major change. They got rid of a Hall of Fame coach. There was great dissatisfaction at the Pirate opener and really every day of the Pirate season and off season, last off season. You had people flying planes over saying sell the team. You had the manager getting booed. You had all kinds of things. Chance of sell the team within the ballpark. That's the story of this Pittsburgh sports year. Things came to a head. Hasn't been a championship around here. If we don't get one this year in 2026, it'll be a decade or 9 years. I can't figure out which because I always get confused on how to count to 9 or 10. But close to it, and worse than that, things seem to be devolving. Well, that should prompt change. With the Penguins, it did. With the Pirates, it did. They fired Shelty, and then they actually did something this offseason. Better late than never. But I think your dissatisfaction out there helped to prompt change. I really do. The Steelers chose to stay the course. And their fan rage, their mad as hell and not going to take it anymore moment, came against the Bills, right? A 26-7 loss, whatever the score was, where you had fans, Steelers fans, booing Renegade and chanting for the head coach to get fired. Wow. What a wild year this was when you actually think about it. And I started to think about it last night and this morning, like, what was the theme? And I do this every year, you know, for the purposes of this show, maybe to write a column at the end of the year. What was the theme of this year in Pittsburgh sports? And I think it's pretty clear. 412-928-9370. You're sick and tired of watching what you've been watching. Wait, we're really going to watch another Penguin season that ends the same way that Sully's last five did, or however many there were? It was just like watching a rerun the whole time. And it kept getting worse. So you're just going to sit and watch it? Apparently not, judging by attendance. But at least Kyle Dubas did something. Pirate fans, and I realize there's a lot of cross-pollination here, but Pirate fans feel horrible for you. I commend the ones that keep going to the ballpark, not only because you keep going, but because you're the ones that are blamed for a lot of it. How can you spend money on tickets? You're part of the problem. No, you're not. You're the most loyal fans in the world, the ones who go to those games. And your anger came to a head at that opener. I mean, that was obvious for the whole world to see. And finally, the Pirates have done something. They changed managers. Way more importantly, they've actually put some money to their talk some anyway, but they've gone out and they've acquired two all-stars, signed two all-stars here in a matter of a week. That to me is significant. And I think that your dissatisfaction maybe help prompt them to action. I do. That was the story of the year. You know, Pitt basketball running in place, Pitt football running in place. But for our pro teams, it was you saying, I can't take this anymore. I just can't. Are we really going to watch the Steelers do what they do? How many times are we going to see this? How many years in a row? The characters change, the actors change, except for the head coach and the owner. But it's the same plot every single year. We get fooled from time to time. I did. I thought last week they were headed to the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. I was swilling Steelers Kool-Aid. Not drinking it, Charlie. I was doing Kool-Aid bongs. Just swilling it. And then Cleveland happened. And that was a sharp just slap in the face of it's the same. It's the same. And how many years are we going to watch this? Because we're going on a decade of that. And for some people, it's just, it's okay. It's living above the mean. And I do actually give them a chance this weekend, a pretty good chance, because the Ravens are in the same spot. So that was the theme of your sports year here. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Off the Top presented by JP Roofing and Siding. And the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. You can communicate with my dear friend, Nellie Borges, a personal Nellie's not a personal injury law firm. Edgar Snyder and Associates is a personal injury law firm. Well, they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Wow. It's just really, when I think about it, remarkable and sort of unnoticeable. You know, when you're so close to something that you don't notice the change, like a kid growing up. Somebody will see the kid once every 6 months and say, oh my God, are they different? To you, the change was subtle. It was daily, and hopefully it was good. In this case, it's just been subtly Penguins, Pirates, Steelers eating away at your soul, I would imagine, as a Pittsburgh sports fan. Slowly, subtly, year after year after year, the Penguins don't even make the playoffs anymore, but again, at least they change something. The Pirates are the same every year, chronically disappointing, but at least they've changed something. And the Steelers, while they live in the land or the town I like to call high-end mediocrity, they bought a house there. They seem pretty satisfied there, and I guess who wouldn't be, right? They have all their needs met. They have a roof over their heads, right? They have a steak dinner every once in a while, a bottle of wine. Life's pretty good in high-end mediocrity. Until it's not, until you realize that a whole lot of people are living better in the NFL. A lot of people living worse. A lot of people living better. They're actually the one franchise we have that has not been prompted to major change. Now, one of the big stories was bringing in Aaron Rodgers. They've tried that. Maybe it'll still work. But I thought he had his worst game, honestly, against Cleveland. I'm talking about high-end management change is what I'm talking about. Philosophy change. And the Steelers are so stubborn. And so once again, really, I feel like for the third time this season, we're facing kind of, and it's all based on how last season ended and how for the first time late last season, you could sense a sea change nationally. Whereas the national media had been squarely in the Steelers' corner, Mike Tomlin's corner, you know, hey, at least they're not the Jets type of thing. That started to change late last year. And therefore, and some people reported and said this could be it for Tomlin, at least as far as him wanting to go elsewhere. The Bears called about a trade. There was all that noise last season that fed into this year. What was going to happen this year? Well, after they lost to Cincy and Green Bay, I felt like they were set up for maybe a 5-game losing streak and a season falling apart. Remember talking about it that week with Indy. It wasn't just about a game. It was about an era, perhaps, and how things were teetering. Well, they righted the ship that day. They hammered Jonathan Taylor. They win the game. Then they lose in L.A. They win in Cincinnati, or against Cincinnati. And then they lose in Chicago, and then they get crushed at home by the Bills and hit rock bottom again. And once again, it wasn't just about, oh yeah, maybe the Steelers won't make the playoffs. It was, wow, we've reached another franchise-altering moment, perhaps, like a new rock bottom. And what kind of change might that prompt, if any? What do? They go out and beat Baltimore. The next week in Baltimore. That sparks a 3-game winning streak and had people like me swigging Kool-Aid. And then what happens? Well, the DK Metcalf incident, the dry needling incident happened, I guess, before that. And then one of the worst losses of the Mike Tomlin era. I consider it one of the worst losses in modern Steelers history. What a shameful, horrific, embarrassing, unforgivable loss that was. They lost to Shador Sanders. That dude, as far as I'm concerned, threw two pick sixes. Nick Herbig dropped one. Oh, well. Jack Sawyer never made it to the end zone. Oh, well. He also threw one of the worst passes in the NFL this season that I've seen anyway. The moonball interception by Duggar. Even Sanders' touchdown pass was horrific. Duggar just misplayed it. He went full Juan Thornhill on that one. They lost to that with their season on the line. I don't care who was in and out, Watt, Metcalf, who. You should beat them with your freshman team, with your JV team. They lost to that with everything on the line. And I still maintain that a big reason they lost that game was they wanted to save face against Myles Garrett. There's so many people now pushing against that narrative. Go back and watch the game. They sacrificed Kenneth Gainwell to blocking, chipping him. They ran away from him. They threw away from him. And then I see people like J.J. Watt. Well, isn't the idea to not have him wreck the game? He's got 22 and a half sacks and his team is 4-12. Forget that. Going into that game, he had 22 sacks, and his team was 3-12. So it's more, to me, of people letting him wreck the game. Not wreck the game, but letting him get his. And running their offense anyway. Let's do what we do here. He's going to get his. No different than a big scorer on a bad basketball team. Do we game plan around him? Hell no. Let him get his 30. What do we care? Just play. Brian Baldinger, Tony Romo, Jim Nance, Myles Garrett himself, and plenty of others have called out the Steelers for prioritizing Garrett over the game. They said it blatantly on the broadcast, Nance and Romo. Not in so many words, they said it blatantly. Now, I'm not directly quoting, although at 9:51 of the third quarter, Charlie, I don't know if we have the TV feed, Romo basically said he doesn't want to get sacked by Garrett at all. Like, he's trying to avoid that. Nance said the same thing. Baldinger said the same thing. Garrett said the same thing.
We have Rodgers' comments on Garrett, if you want to hear that from Sunday night.
Sure.
Played for the Browns, how much is it part of that balance of trying?
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Limit Garrett, but at the same time, still getting it going.
We had the same similar game plan as the first time. We just executed better in the first game.
He threw faster in the second game. Did they sacrifice Kenny Gainwell to Garrett chipping in the first game and blocking? I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at every play. He got rid of the ball faster in this game. I'm convinced he didn't want to be the guy to go down in history. Because right now, that guy is Brett Favre, who goes down in history. Of course, Favre gave himself up on the Strahan sack as the guy who gives up the record-breaking sack. So you can call it what you want. The Steelers are scraping rock bottom again, and now they go into yet another, in my mind, their third critical franchise-altering moment this weekend. And by the way, I hear people talk about this Browns defense like they're, you know, the 2000 Ravens. Give me a break. You have 32 points to New England. They gave up 27 to the Jets. They gave up 26 to the Niners, 31 to the Titans. You lost 31 to the Bears. You lost to that, 23 to the Bills. Those were their games leading into this. San Fran, 26. Tennessee, 31. Was that Tennessee's season high? Let me look that up. Chicago, 31. Buffalo, 23. This team walked in there and scored 13. One of the worst losses I've ever seen in my life. Did Tennessee score 31 points the whole season other than that? I severely doubt it. No, that was their season high. Pretty easily their season high to the great Cleveland Browns defense. What a great defense. 6 points against that defense. 412-928-9370. The year of dissatisfaction. You out there were mad as hell and you weren't going to take it anymore. And with two of our three pro franchises, that has prompted action. Now, maybe the Steelers avoid sinking to a new low and prompting great outcry for change and prompting maybe fire Tomlin chants at the stadium Sunday, maybe they escape yet again. If they do, I'll give them credit. They're an underdog on their home field. By the way, we have to be keeping tabs today, Dr. Borges, on TJ Watt and Lamar Jackson. What's going to happen with them today?
But welcome once to AFC North Championship Week, as I like to refer to it.
Yeah, man. It kind of doesn't feel that way, though, does it? Sort of feels like two teetering franchises who have had great success a while ago, more success in Baltimore than Pittsburgh recently. They make runs in the playoffs. They went to the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. Maybe they've underachieved to, you know, relative to having a multiple MVP winner, but at least they win playoff games, including the one where they crushed the Steelers last year. However, to crumble this year as a Super Bowl favorite, man, this game could prompt change for the loser. Big time. That's what feels like it's at stake here. And come to think of it, I'm having deja vu because I was talking about this exact same theme going into the last Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. And the Steelers, with DK Metcalf leading the way with 148 yards receiving and volunteering to be a gunner on the punt team, they rose off the mat in Baltimore. Can they do it one more time? Will they do it one more time? Let's talk about how we think this game will go, but also your feelings as a Pittsburgh sports fan in the year where everything came to a head. Basically, we had fan insurrections at PNC Park and Acrisure. It's just you were not going to stand for this any longer. You were done with it. The Penguins feels like it's been more apathy than anger. There was no, you know, insurrection over at PPG Paints Arena. People just stopped going. 412-928-9370. Talking about the year in Pittsburgh sports. Maybe we can talk about the year ahead as well. There was great change this year. Goodbye, Sully. Goodbye, Shelty. Hello, Aaron. Goodbye, FSG. Will there be seismic change in the year to come? We'll talk about that as well. It's 1026. Make the smart call. Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Now, I was supposed to thank somebody from the North Allegheny basketball tournament here, and now I've forgotten her name. And I know she's listening. She sat at the door taking tickets all weekend, where every time somebody walked in the door, Nellie, she was blown away by a frigid blast. It was unbelievable. She just sat there and froze the whole weekend.
There's cold, and then there's standing by a door with a breeze cold.
It was unbelievable.
It's two totally different things.
Yeah. Well, at least she was sitting, but still, taking money for the tournament. And basically, by the end of the weekend, she was like a frozen cadaver. It was incredible. And I should have written down her name because I don't even remember when I woke up today, what I had for breakfast. I can't remember your name, but I commend you. I commend you for all the work you did at that basketball tournament this weekend. It was very, very impressive. Thank you, Nellie. And welcome to the Never Pomp and pretty rarely around the holidays Joe Show.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.